Good afternoon. And welcome to St. John Lutheran Church for our third Lenten midweek service following Ash Wednesday. Special thank you to our middle school choir for their singing here as the start for our service. Always a blessing to hear of their talents on use for the glory of God. If your guests are visiting with us here today, we're especially glad you're here, along with all of our members alike. Just a reminder to fill out the attendance card that you'll find in your pews. Our ushers will collect them along with the offering midway through the service. We do have a meal following our service this afternoon, so you're invited to join us for that. I believe chili has been prepared along with a few soups and perhaps some hot dogs and maybe some other things as well. So look forward to joining us after that. And there are flyers or inserts in your bulletin for the donation of Easter lilies for the decoration for our celebration of Easter. So if you'd like to fill those out, we would be happy to have those and be able to continue our celebration through decorating our sanctuary for Easter with those lilies. Order of service for this afternoon is Divine Service Setting 2. Begins on page 167 within our hymnal. We sing now our first hymn, hymn 423, Jesus, Refuge of the Weary. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you did not remain apart from your creation. You sought us when we were not seeking you, and did for us what we could not do for ourselves. For all this we give you thanks and praise. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for our third Lenten midweek service is from Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
And they led Jesus to the high priest. And all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. And Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. He was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands. Yet even about this, their testimony did not agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? But he remained silent and made no answer. Again the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his garments and said, what further witnesses do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision? And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to strike him, saying to him, prophesy. And the guards received him with blows. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with the Nazarene, Jesus. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you mean. And he went out in the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, this man is one of them. But again he denied it. After a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, certainly you are one of them. For you are a Galilean. But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he broke down and wept. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And he answered him, you have said so. And the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate again asked him, have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you. But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to Christ.
Proceed now as we sing the hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Our text from Mark chapter 1. You've likely heard the phrase, it's a dog-eat-dog world. Intense competition is intended with those words. But at the root of intense competition is the interest of one's own self. I want to win for me, for my glory, for my honor. The ultimate competition can be seen in life lived without God. The primary tenet of Darwin's evolutionary thought was the survival of the fittest. Only the strong, only the smartest, or the wisest, or the wealthiest will survive. Such thought promotes self-interest and not the care and the concern for others. Though deep down, all people know such care and concern to be true virtue. God created Adam and Eve as good, as holy, as righteous. They were pure, and they were free from sin. Yet they were still creatures. Yes, made in the image of God, but not equal to God. And so the serpent emphasized that truth in his temptation to the woman. He told her that God was holding out on her, that God made Adam and her as lacking beings. She could be even more like God if she ate of the fruit from the forbidden tree, the tree of knowledge of good and of evil. So the temptation was laid before Eve to capitalize on her own self-interest. Rather than be concerned for God's word which had been given to her, or for her husband's own future, or for the sake of all of creation, Eve pleased herself, and Adam followed suit. And ever since then, it has only grown worse. Mankind continues to increase in its self-centeredness, turning more and more inward toward the heart of sin. And in so doing, the wickedness of sinful thoughts and words and actions only grow. The turn inward is infinite, like constantly dividing by two to get to the smallest possible number. But the production of sin that results, of course, is infinite, like constantly multiplying by two to get to the highest number. It's not hard to recognize this in this world all around us, in the temptations that we face from the devil and in our own sinful nature. Love of money, love of self, love of power, an unlimited number of false gods to serve and to obey rather than the only true God. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. This was the truth as God declared it before the flood, and it remains true now. It is no wonder, then, the opposition and the rejection that the Lord Jesus encountered when he came here into the world. For darkness hates the light. Evil hates what is good. And righteousness and unrighteousness are bitter enemies. But Jesus gave comfort to his blessed disciples when he said to them, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And again, to his disciples, on the same night that he was betrayed, Jesus said, "Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Even so, this is why the Lord Jesus has come, to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Through his own persecution and suffering, Jesus Christ purchased and he won the salvation of all the world. Because Jesus was rejected, we are received by God. Because Jesus took on all of our sin, we have the forgiveness of all our sin. And because Jesus was condemned by the Father, we have eternal life and salvation. This good news is what the Lord Jesus came to preach. Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And so Jesus went throughout all of Galilee, preaching the message of repentance and salvation in all of their synagogues. And Jesus spent his time casting out demons and healing the sick. This was the work of God in the flesh, the work of God in the world. For us, he prayed. For us, he taught. For us, his daily works he wrought. By words and signs and actions, thus still seeking not himself, but us. Jesus kept working for all people. He took care of the needs of others. He went looking for those to whom he could preach and for those whom he could help and heal. None of it was for himself. Jesus did not come into the world to be served. That would be us. We are filled with that sin in our nature. We want others to take care of us. We even pay them to do so. Not Jesus. He came to serve, to help, to care. And that is who God is. And that is who God always is. He has created us in order to love us, in order to care for us, to serve us. Adam and Eve, they were never put into a position to be free from God. Rather, he provided for them. And he cared for them. And they were to remember that. They were to acknowledge that all throughout their lives. For God would always serve them. And this truth is so contrary to the very way of the world and our own sinful flesh that Jesus spoke this truth time and time again to his own disciples. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. The greatest among you shall be your servant, and if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Each Christian then should be constantly clamoring to be the servant of each other. What a world that would be, where all were seeking to serve each other rather than being served. And what a world that would be if we were turned outward toward others rather than inward toward ourselves. But the brokenness of this sinful world will not allow this within us. But it is exactly who Jesus is and exactly how he was in this world. For Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith, of our life, and our salvation. He is the one who endured the cross, despising its shame. But he did it all for the joy that was set before him, to have you be with him forever. And that is why he has come. And this is the power of Christ here in the midst of the broken and sinful world. That gospel message, that message of sacrifice, of selflessness, of mercy, of compassion, it all combats the very selfishness of our sin and the sin of this broken world. All know that vicious cycle of anger and of hatred. An evil deed is done. Another evil deed is done in response. And more is done with each and every volley back and forth. And that spiral downward is devastating. The devil, the world, our sinful nature love it. But the forgiveness of Christ, the true grace of God, breaks that spiral. Jesus has intervened to save the world. Jesus has broken in and he has bound the strong man so as to plunder his goods, to rescue all whom he has redeemed by his holy blood, all those who believe in him. God has always wanted this to dwell with us. Sin has broken that bond and that relationship, but Jesus has come and he has paid the price for its repair. Jesus has bridged that gap between God and man. Jesus is the one sent by God for the purpose of reconciling all the world unto himself. This is what the Lord Jesus has done for us, so that even though we die, yet shall we live. And when he raises us again to new life, all sin and death will be gone. God will then dwell with us fully and perfectly as he has always desired. You will have no fear in that day of seeing God face to face, for you will indeed see God and live. That is what Christ has accomplished, what he has done, what he has made possible for us all. For in Christ Jesus, God is always seeking not himself, but you. Through the word and holy baptism, he has found you, and he has made you his own forever. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We stand together to confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Let us pray now for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Merciful Father, your salvation is near to those who fear you. Look in kindness upon your whole Church and pour out on your family the gift of repentance that all your children might be given grace. Salvation. Remember all pastors, deacons, teachers, missionaries, and servants of the church. Give them courage to speak your saving word fearlessly, that it may do its mighty work by your Spirit's power. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Kind, loving Lord, look in mercy upon this congregation. Remove all hypocrisy from us and strengthen our members. members, that we may be bold confessors of your gift of eternal life in our homes, at work, and at all times. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Mighty monarch of all our days, to you we commend all who have been entrusted with authority in our land. Give them wisdom to discern properly what is best for all people. Grant them integrity and honor in all that they undertake. Guide them into paths that are pleasing to you. Lord, in your mercy, Holy One, you tell us in your word that you work good for all those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Hear our prayers for all your children who are suffering or are in any need, who are lonely or afflicted, and who are bound to their homes.
We pray, Lord, also for the grieving and the dying,
and especially those we name now in our hearts and minds before you. Those who are troubled with the promises of your word, surround them with your angel.
Protect them in body and soul.
Grant them healing for their afflictions according to your will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our
O Father of our Lord Jesus, your Son has prepared for his family a feast, that we might not grow weary in the struggle or despair of your mercy, but find constant renewal. Grant to us then all to the holy altar this day, repentant hearts and firm
trust in the promise
of the Savior, that here we would receive his body and blood, the forgiveness of all of our sins, the gift of a life death cannot take away. Lord, in your mercy, join these, our prayers and praises, with those of your faithful people of every time and place, and unite them in the ceaseless petitions of our great high priest, until he comes again in power and great glory as victorious Lord of all. All this we pray for through Jesus Christ,
our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated now as the tithes and offerings are collected.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and therefore with angels. Magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and of might, heaven and earth are full of glory.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice, his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body, drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night
when he was betrayed,
took bread.
When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples
and said, Take, eat, this is
my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do it often as
the peace of the Lord be with you always.
We stand to sing the post-communion hymn. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Seated now as the closing hymn is sung.